You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
We love to say, I am because we are. But what happens when we is breaking me? Today's guest is someone who doesn't just ask the difficult questions, she dares to answer them. Ndumi Hadebe is a leadership strategist, a writer, a thinker, and a provocateur of the very best kind. She is unafraid to pick apart the knots we've normalized, especially when those knots are wrapped around our peace, our pockets, and our sense of personal power. We're talking about the things many of us feel, few of us name, and almost none of us escape. Black tax. But not the surface level conversations. We're going deeper into the soft manipulation, the masked guilt, the cultural coercion, the you've changed acquisitions or accusations. We're going where it pinches. Because if we're going to talk about boundaries, then we must also talk about betrayal and bravery, and the blurry lines between obligation and oppression. Ndumi is here not just to give us tools, but to give us language, because sometimes just having the right words can set your soul free. Ndumi Hadebe, welcome to the conversation.
Good evening, Pumi. Thank you so much for that wonderful and rhythmic introduction.
How are you doing this evening?
I am doing great. I am embracing that it's autumn and that it's getting colder.
Listen,
and I'm thriving.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely nothing we can do. We can complain all we want, but Oksalayo will wear those jackets.
Absolutely.
Now let's start here. When did you first feel the tension between who you are and who your culture expects you to be?
This is a very interesting question. And I think it's been a long life journey for me.
Yeah.
Because I've always been curious and interested in personal development.
Okay.
Personal development, individuality, and not being expected to box myself.
Yes.
So you can imagine what a complexity this was for me, considering that I had weak boundaries.
Ooh.
And I had those questions that were basically saying, who am I outside of everybody else?
Yeah.
So I would say it was around when I started, 2010.
Okay.
I started having deeper curiosity around these things. I attended in courses with people like Dr. John DeMartini and many others, but there was like the beginning. But also I started really being deeply reflective about how life looks like when I'm more of me.
Oh.
I've always had that subtle question. Maybe it was subconscious, but I've always had that question: how does life look like from that end?
Mm.
And I've always been curious about questions.
Yeah,
like why do I do what I do?
Yes.
Why don't I do what I don't do?
Yeah.
This was long before I got to diving in deep into boundaries.
Mm. You know, what you're saying is so interesting, because I remember having a conversation with my friend who was expressing to me just the whole idea of how you expect her to finish school, get a job, get married, have kids. And with his parents, he was saying, listen, I don't want to have kids. And that is a question that I'd been thinking about in my mind as well. And as we were having the conversation, it dawned on me that in all truth, a lot of the decisions we make are not our own.
Yep.
So many of the decisions we make are actually not our own.
And we don't even know
that
they're not our own, because we don't know what we don't know.
Oh. Yeah, no. It's hectic. It's hectic because even when we start working, right, and we start making money, the rhetoric or the expectation is, of course it will be you. what did you think? And I think on that vein, I wanted to really unpack what black tax actually is. I think 3 or 2 weeks ago, I was having a discussion and a debate really about what it is. Some people believe black tax is when you have family that insists that you must bring money. And others were saying, no, black tax is just the realization and the reality that because you were the first to make it out and to make it, the burden falls on you to lift the rest of the family up. And so I want you to really unpack to us, what is black tax really? And as you go about your response, I want you to also touch on, is it always financial or can it also be emotional, spiritual and psychological too? Because I'm imagining that there are hidden taxes that we never invoice, but they exist and we pay for them. So what is black tax holistically?
So holistically, black tax is basically a responsibility that we inherit by virtue of being born into a family that either left you a deficit or is unable to look after those come after you. So the expectation is that you must carry that responsibility, essentially. And in having called the responsibility, I want to touch on that it's neither our parents' fault, per se, neither is it our fault. It's not our parents' fault because they couldn't participate in the economy.
They couldn't.
Not in the manner in which we can now, right? So they couldn't. They didn't have the same level of education or levels of exposure, the tools, etc. And now we have the responsibility at hand. I call it a responsibility so that we recognize that how we go about it is what makes it a responsibility.
Okay.
Me getting into debt to buy my little sister a dress that I cannot afford is irresponsible.
It's irresponsible.
So this varies now for each and every family, depending on what is a priority.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of families that will choose to have DSTV, but don't have extra tutorial for their child. So if we're to look at values now, if cascading from responsibility. So I call it a responsibility.
Yeah.
Because I do believe that we should assist. But how we do it is that we must end the cycle of poverty.
We must end the cycle. Do you think we can do enough?
We have to end the cycle. We are the cold generation.
Yeah. But do you think we can do enough? Do you think our means can stretch? And even as I'm asking this question, I've got to be honest. I have a picture in my mind of a friend I went to varsity with. She's one of the oldest kids in her family, and I'm the last born at home. So you can just imagine how far apart our parents are in age, right? And last week she was posting pictures of her youngest sister graduating. And 3 years ago, it was her younger brother graduating. And in 2017, it was us graduating. And, you know, I said to her, you broke the cycle. You broke the cycle. And even as I'm asking if we are enough or our means will be enough, I'm realizing that part of breaking the cycle is showing others a different way of doing so that they pick up the baton and they run so that collectively our efforts combine to make a difference. Am I understanding you correctly?
Absolutely. And that is why the book Handle Black Tax Like a Pro is written in a series of short stories.
Yeah.
Because there is no cut and paste solution for black tax because it's a spectrum. It looks different for different people. And in helping, so your friend has managed to help someone.
Yeah.
And in maybe, you know, the younger sister. In her case, she is actually lucky. The fact that her sister actually did get to a point where she graduated. Some people are simply pouring and pouring and pouring, whether it's time, money, energy, IP, whatever else you can imagine. And the ROI is non-existent. And what I'm advocating for is that don't go on social media to complain about that.
Okay.
You need to have the loving and compassionate, uncomfortable conversation with your family about how you feel about black text. How you feel about the little brother that is constantly just having an expectation, or the little sister that has been at university for the past 10 years and is yet to have a degree. Let's not have it as an elephant in the room. Just talk about it.
You know, the definition you gave of black tag struck such a chord with me because you used the word inheritance. And I think you used it intentionally, because when we think of an inheritance, we think of money being left for us. It's never us inheriting the responsibility to provide for our families. That struck a chord with me.
And that's the reality of it. We inherit. So we don't have. We inherit the legacy of poverty from a perspective of that our parents had minimal interaction, therefore minimal relationships with money. So. And you and I cannot speak to Mbumi and say, how dare they not be responsible and have active relationships with money? How can you have a relationship with something that you that is non-existent?
Yo, in fact, it was very intentional that they do not have that relationship and the knowledge that precedes the relationship.
Absolutely. So hence, even those who had money, more often than not, the money ended with them, because the lessons of money, financial literacy, did not filter down.
Yeah, it was all about survival for them, never about leaving an inheritance for your children and their children and their children.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I want us to play this contradiction, Ndumi.
Sure.
Ubuntu. I am because you are. We are a family. Like a geometry. Can Ubuntu and boundaries coexist, or does one inherently limit the other?
I take a very controversial view on this.
I love those. Let's go.
Yeah. I believe that Ubuntu is impossible without boundaries.
Woo! Let's go.
Yeah, because I cannot pour into somebody from an empty cup. It's mathematically impossible. It's scientifically, universal laws, every sense of the word.
It's psychologically damaging.
You cannot give what you don't have.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I have a credit card and it's like minus 30,000.
Yeah.
If I don't see that I don't have this money, you see how I can just completely deplete that? And I think I'm being kind. I think I'm helping somebody, but I'm basically extending Ubuntu to somebody else at the expense of myself.
At the expense of yourself.
You mentioned something very important in your introduction.
Yeah.
Betrayal. The opposite end of healthy boundaries is self-betrayal. So it is so important that we learn the A to Z of boundaries, not from a point of I don't have Ubuntu, but from a basis of, for me to help you multiply, I must do so from a filled cup. I think it's Ayenla that talks about, I cannot give you from my cup. I can give you what's in my saucer, whatever that is spilled off.
The overflow.
Absolutely. So let's say we don't have the luxury of the overflow.
Yes.
Why not even structure what's within the cup? Let's just say that my family responsibility budget is X amount. And once exceeded, That's it.
That's it, but guys.
People cannot come to you, Mpumi, and say, can I have money? And you say you don't have money. Because I will ask you, why are you lying? Because you have money.
Yes.
It's just allocated for other things.
Yeah.
This is not that complicated. It's not that deep. Mm. But we have made it seem taboo to say no. Mm. We have made it seem taboo to say, I'm going to check my budget. Mm. We've made it seem taboo to say, I've reached my limit.
Yeah. Yeah. No suddenly makes us bad people. Or we think that it makes us bad people.
So I want to go with the latter.
Yeah.
We believe that it makes us bad people. Mm. So more often than not, people know the boundary. They know when to say no. They judge themselves. Mm. So they don't say no.
Mm.
They avoid what is called an uncomfortable conversation, aka a truthful conversation.
A truthful conversation. Ubuntu is not possible without boundaries.
Ubuntu is not possible without boundaries.
Yeah.
Because you, once I'm depleted financially and otherwise, I am no longer in a position to help anybody.
Mm.
So if only people can understand that, just that, from this entire interview, that they need individually to fill up their own cup in terms of time, energy, and money, so that they can sustain helping other people.
And you know, also now thinking about what you're saying and Ubuntu, I don't know at what point we reduced Ubuntu to being able to provide for other people financially only. Because if I have a conversation with my brother who says, Mpumi, give me money. And I say to him, I actually don't have money right now. The money I did have has been exhausted on the things that we did. And before he blows a gasket to say, hey, but I think there's an opportunity for you to do this that will allow you to make your own money. It may not be enough or a lot, but it's something. That is also Ubuntu, because I'm empowering him to see opportunities that he didn't see because I was the only opportunity that he could see and that has always been available to him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that is because life is about resources. How are we making more of what we have right now?
And
so if I have food, how do we make more of that? You know, like, how can I share that with you? How can I love you and love me at the same time? That's actually the big question. But in relation to time, money, and energy, right next to it is IP. Right next to it is contacts. Right next to it is access to opportunity. And more often than not, people just ledge on money.
And I think we stunt the resourcefulness of people when we are their only resource and always their resource, you know?
That's it. So, and I like that you transition to this question, to this aspect of the conversation, whereby if I am to put in money for someone that's in at university for 10 years, am I not standing in the way of that person?
For sure.
Realizing that their formula is not working.
Yeah, they have no incentive to leave.
Absolutely. So you have to make adjustments as a loved one so that they can do whatever adjustments necessary for them to grow, to change, to expand.
Yeah. You know, Ndumi, it would be so remiss of us to think that the only currency we talk about when we talk about black tax is money. There's another currency, and it's guilt. Why do you think guilt is such a powerful currency in black families? And what happens when you stop paying it?
So guilt. So let's talk about emotions in general.
Yeah.
Before we get to guilt, right? But I do speak deeply, and I mean, I have a whole chapter dedicated to success guilt.
Yay.
So, yeah, because it's a thing.
It's a thing.
Because if it wasn't a thing, the people occupying the corner offices of headquarters of corporate would not be featured in this book.
Yeah.
So Black Tax is not about money. It is, in actual fact, about the spectrum that I'm talking about, about the boundaries. But coming back to your questions, your question about guilt, which I'm shifting before I get to it, to emotions.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of shame that's associated with this self-betrayal. Constantly choosing other people over yourself.
Yeah.
That just really invokes feelings of shame. Another form of shame comes in a sense that I know I should be saying no, but I don't. So that shame brings about self-resentment for not protecting self in this situation.
Yeah.
And that extends to guilt. That extends to overall fear of all. You just doubt yourself. So can you see the spectrum of emotions that are low vibration, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, it's a downward spiral.
In relation to money, in relation to family, because Black Tax involves family, in relation to self-management. So it means when you're navigating through life without self-trust, your confidence is bound to be compromised.
For sure. Without a doubt.
Right. So this is before we get to guilt.
Yeah.
So when we get to the guilt that is associated with Black Tax specifically, it's that we are shamed for wanting to hold a different view if we wanted to. So in saying, okay, I have a budget. So my brother is a CA. The word budget comes very easily from him. I think it's the most adorable thing that he can just say, I'll check my budget.
Yeah.
I'll check my budget. And it's understandable. Like, we get it. But this is, he started doing this long before. Like, I think he was doing his honors. He was so focused. And I'll pop in to visit him. And his break was exactly 20 minutes.
Whoa.
At the time at which he needed to get back to studying,
he
will get up and we'll have a prayer and he will show me out with love and compassion. There was him holding a boundary at the time. And he was not saying, it's my boundary for you to be here only for 20 minutes. He just simply did it because that was his truth and that was his commitment.
Yeah.
And my maturity was to understand that to love him and support him at this point in time, I must give him the space to do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Instead of guilting him and shaming him and judging him. So the guilt comes from that, oh, Mpumi, now that she's on radio, oh, now that she's living this amazing life, da-di-da-di-da. So all these stories, it basically implies that your needs, your wants, thoughts, and feelings don't matter.
Do you think there could also be, you know, the shame you're talking about and the self-loathing that comes with it? Do you think that the people who on the other side feel entitled or are expectant of you to then do whatever Black Tax requires you to do, do you think they also might be stricken by shame and self-loathing of their own? And that's why they project and cast it onto those who are now responsible for carrying the family?
So it goes both ways.
Yeah.
You know, I think that tough, the complexity in Bumi is that we are not having the conversation as families.
Yeah.
This is what got me to write the book, because it was 2020. We were on social media. We were keyboard warriors. The people that are on the receiving end, like beneficiaries of Black Tax, they've got feelings, thoughts and feelings about it.
Yeah.
The people that are the breadwinner and the payer of Black Tax, they've got their thoughts and feelings.
And they have no idea what the other is feeling.
Their siblings.
Yeah.
But no one is getting together and saying, what can we do about this? How can we use this opportunity, transmute it into something that brings this family together by having honest, transparent, loving, compassionate conversations? So the guilt and shame is coming from both sides. But you tend to, the more often it would be the person that is paying back tax that will be guilted and shamed. Why? Because they are the ones that must express the boundary, uphold the boundary, and therefore they face more judgment.
Yeah.
A person that's on the receiving end can easily be perceived as a victim.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
You see? So, and my stance is that when you've exceeded your budget for family responsibility, it is within your right to say, I have exceeded my family budget for responsibility for this month. But you see how that is difficult to communicate when you have not had a transparent conversation that says, my budget is X amount. I'm helping this person and that person for these reasons. My focus is project XYZ.
Yeah.
So if we're not having the conversation, we are actually killing the family structure, financially and emotionally.
Yeah, I mean, if money or finances can be the number one reason for divorce, I can imagine that it can also break families apart.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The person I write about in story four, he's alive, well and kicking, and lives in Johannesburg and is comfortable. And his story is called 4 Decades of Black Tax.
Yo.
Because he's been paying it since 1987.
Yo.
Right? And when he passed on the baton, quoting you, after the parents have both died, I think it had been 3 or 4 years, and he was carrying the family, carrying the nieces and the nephews and everyone. And when he decided that it's time to pass on the baton, the family structure broke. They stopped talking to him.
Forget the 4 decades.
4 decades. And what he could calculate, what he had proof of payment for, like what he could track, you know, considering how much he was earning at a particular time as an intern, etc., was about 2.5 million.
There is no way.
I kid you not. I have met someone in this 2025 who spends about 200K last year because they went on an exercise of, I want to keep track on how much money I'm spending towards family.
Actually.
And she did that. Like this from a corporate event, people could not believe it.
And
more than 200K in 1 year.
That is a lot.
So
that is a lot.
It's a lot of money. But think about it. Remember, we are driven by Ubuntu. It feels weird to keep track of it. So you judge yourself so you don't do it.
It's like, oh, so you're keeping score. Oh, you're not helping from the bottom of your heart. The bottom of my heart has a bank account.
Thank you.
There's a bank account at the bottom. It's held by that bank account.
Exactly. Right. So I mentioned that so that you see how you not keeping track of your black tax transaction has nothing to do with other people. It has everything to do with you and what you believe to be true about keeping track.
I want to keep on that vein of the family falling apart and keeping track. And let's anticipate that somebody will listen to this conversation and say, you know what? I have to have the conversation. This is too much. And even if it's not too much, but the realization that, no, man, I could be firmer. It's still loving, but firmer around what I allow, what I tolerate. And maybe I could actually get out of debt by apportioning some of that money to service my debts instead of just pouring into what might feel like a bottomless cup. Now, the one who will do that because they've come to the realization and the truth of their situation, what are some common ways that they can look out for that people try to punish you when you actually create boundaries? And does creating boundaries always mean conflict? So how can somebody navigate that if they're actually going to action what we're talking about here?
Okay, so if you touched on debt.
Yeah.
And that's always something that everybody understands, even if it is at a high level.
Mm.
To some degree, they understand.
Mm.
I always think it's a great departure point to actually do a recon of how much you're owing.
Because
when you start there, it paints a picture of your crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that can be maybe even your reality. So
yeah.
Some people might be like, oh, well, it's only one credit card. I can just start this within 3-6 months or whatever.
Yeah.
But for some people, it's bound to be a lot.
It's a lot.
And by debt, I mean including the car, etc. So starting with that, then take that in conjunction or at the back of how long you've been working.
Mm.
If you don't have savings, you don't have investment, yet you have debt.
Mm.
So it means you are running your life at a loss.
Literally, you're working backwards.
Sorry, I missed that.
You're working backwards.
Technically,
yeah.
You are working backwards.
Yeah.
So the first step is to face this reality and then decide that you want to change it.
Mm.
And I suggest a formula that I call truth plus love minus rightness equals a healthy foundation to tackle like that.
Wow.
And why I say minus rightness? Because when we are when we've had a new revelation, we have a newly found boundary, it's easy for us to fall into the trap of wanting to be right and accusing our loved ones to be wrong.
Mm.
Distracting us completely from the focal point.
Mm.
The point is, you, Mbumi, I, Ndumi, should take responsibility
yes.
for my current financial situation.
Yes.
Because no one pointed a gun at me.
100%.
People asked me, and I said yes.
Yes, it got to this point because of your yes.
Because of my yes.
Yeah.
Whether I wanted to belong or I was feeling uncomfortable to have fruitful conversation,
it's
it doesn't matter. The point
you
is I'm here now,
yeah,
and I must take accountability.
Yeah.
And that then informs the next level of conversation in saying, now let's say you call your siblings or family and you say, guys, I have been looking deeply into my finances and I realize that I have been irresponsible.
It's got nothing to do with them at this point.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have been irresponsible.
Yeah.
Going forward, I want to do things differently. I have X amount of debts, which I plan to get rid of. You know, you kind of summarize the plan, but you're not asking anybody for permission. You are simply telling them the decision that you've taken.
Yeah,
I understand that it's my responsibility to assist. I'm taking on 1, 2, 3. At X amount a month. And then you just keep quiet and you hold the silence and just let people just simmer in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're also very quick to say
too
Mara,
much.
Yeah, Mara, okay,
Yeah. You just keep quiet. Let the silence fill the room. And I always say that, and I almost say it with a smile, almost as if it's a joke, but I really truly mean it. Because at this point in time, fear has taken over. And it's easy for us to justify the decisions that we've taken because we are fearful of being judged.
Yeah.
We are fearful of being excluded.
Yeah.
We are fearful of being othered by our family members. So when we express that which is our truth, we simply express it, get to a full stop, and you keep quiet.
And you keep quiet.
And you smile and just allow them to say whatever they feel they need to say. And you asked something, you mentioned something critical at the end of your question when you say, do boundaries always have to be a confrontation or a conflict? And the answer is no, absolutely not.
No.
It's I could never put it in my English because obviously I'm a Zulu girl. But Dr. Jaya John puts it nicely, and this is on page 7 of my book. And he says, your boundary need not be an angry electric fence that shocks those who touch it.
Yes.
It can be a consistency of light around you that announces, I will be treated sacredly.
Ndumi, you know what my challenge is with what you're saying?
Mm.
You have done the work in emotional intelligence. I've done the work. To me, this is so reasonable. I can't even erupt in anger. I hear you. I hear you and yo. Because now I didn't realize that it's such a burden on you. And I'm not saying that I'm a burden, but that this responsibility is a burden on you. And I'm just like, okay, this means that I have to now also try something or help her out for the very first time. Some of our family members haven't done the work. And sometimes because they don't even realize that the work needs to be done. Now, I would meet what you're saying with such warmth and empathy, but it might not be the case for families who have felt the entitlement and who have literally been living on your assistance. What happens now if the room erupts and people do not accept or receive what you have to say and then they try to punish you? Do I, in my firmness of instilling my boundary, let the family structure crumble behind me as I continue to move in my newfound freedom? What do I do?
So I can answer that question with a question.
Okay.
Would it feel better to continue the lie and the facade that you have the money when you don't have it?
Right.
So this fear of conflict and differing in opinion is precisely why people are avoiding the conversation.
True.
And the more they don't engage, the more they don't learn the skill to get better at communicating. To simply just say, oh, okay, interesting, Bumi, I hear you. I didn't know there was a thing called boundaries.
Yeah.
Okay, you must be talking to that skinny girl who wrote that book or something, right?
Yeah.
And I'm judging you.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, you think you are better. You think, and I say all these things. Will that be the end of the world for you?
No.
Absolutely not.
In fact, I'll breathe better.
If you understand the bigger picture, if you understand the vision for yourself to have financial freedom and the vision for future generations, you cannot be caught in being worried so much about people who are not developing themselves, are not growing to hold you back. Because if they hold you back, it means they're holding the entire future generation of this family.
Literally. Because it will
literally
be the next generation's responsibility to carry the three generations before.
Exactly. Oh. And the person that cannot afford you understanding, they were never yours to begin with. They were never yours to begin with. And this is why it is so important to have the conversation, but also it is so important to go in understanding that there might be resistance because you are introducing something new.
Something new. You are overhauling their lives.
Absolutely. They've never heard this thing called boundaries. No one has ever retaliated, and no one has ever spoken about financial freedom, perhaps. Why are we not talking about it? Do we not want financial freedom? Right? So if you and I condone it, tolerate it, it means we are advocating for it.
And it will never end.
It will never end. Yeah. So we gotta take the courageous position in saying, I understand that this is a risk. I understand that you don't understand. I don't judge you for judging me. All I'm saying is, I need to have a buffer financially. I need to have investments because my retirement is coming. I have specific dreams and goals for myself. Therefore, I will always just be saving money for myself.
Yeah.
I will always be investing. Because if all of us were vested in being understood, then there is so much that you wouldn't do.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
There were so many people that didn't get it that maybe you wanted to be on radio. It's just a thing. It's just like, but why? Like, if you were vested in making people understand, so much time gets wasted.
Yeah.
Not because I'm saying people must not care.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying let's not care. Let's not invest in upholding a lie. And having this false fabrication of the narrative as families, but there's tension, like a boil. It's just waiting for somebody to just click it, and it's toxic.
Yeah.
That's why I use that worst example. That breeds toxicity, and that is why when someone just literally says, "Guys, I am now in my 60s. I'm ready to retire. I'm handing over the baton to somebody else." Three generations don't get it.
Yeah.
They choose not to talk to him, including his own sibling. Right? So who, why are we lying to ourselves?
Why are we lying to ourselves?
You know what I mean? So for me, I'm dumbfounded. Like, why are we lying to ourselves?
You know, there are two things I wanted to address before we wrap up this conversation. You know, when you said it, having this conversation is a risk. My mind immediately went to investment because every investment carries a risk. And I was thinking, perhaps the very first investment we need to make, even before we put money in stocks and unit trusts and businesses and all of those things, is investing in this conversation. Because if we don't, then some money is locked in there. But if we do, we free up not just the money, but ourselves.
Absolutely. And that's why the book is titled Handle Black Sex Like a Pro, Setting Boundaries, Improving Relationships, and Achieving Freedom.
Yeah.
And that's the point in which I was coming from.
Yeah.
That the investment in having truthful conversations is that much more worthwhile. And I understand why people escape the truth. Because it comes with adjustments. It basically, the truth comes back at you and says, okay, you've dug me out. These are the adjustments that you need to make. And for some people, that's too much accountability to follow through.
Yeah, and that sort of thing is hard to deal with. Yeah. And you know, you asked me a question when I asked you that question and you said, what is better? Would it not be better? And right now, I'd love for you to paint a picture to the most responsible child, to the one who says, if I don't do it, nobody will. Paint a picture of what their life could look like when they finally decide to rest in the comfort of their boundaries.
Oh, this question is giving me goosebumps. It's so much. It's so pregnant and it's so layered. But I can start it off here. Having boundaries is not only freeing you up financially and otherwise, you know, in terms of other people.
Yeah.
It helps you build your relationship with yourself. Because the starting point is that you cannot express the boundary you have not established. You first have to understand this being, this person, what are her needs, what are her wants, what are her thoughts and feelings in her various areas of life. Whether that's in relationships, in dating, in money, family, liaison, emotional, mental, energy, digitally.
Yeah.
So once you get to understand that, that when this happens, it affects me in this particular way. This is the boundary that I set for myself. This is the beginning of your relationship with yourself. And why this is important is because it reduces the need for you to be validated by other people.
Yeah. Especially if you're the firstborn.
Absolutely.
Sure.
So your life no longer becomes a PR exercise. You no longer are vested in, I want to look like I have money.
Yeah.
I actually want to have money.
Yeah.
And you acknowledge that. And that may take maybe, you know, having to sacrifice for a year or two, not doing certain things. But when you actually get the result, you will know that you are aligned with your personal truth. But coming back to your question is that having healthy boundaries sets you free. To think, to feel, to do, to form real and meaningful relationships, real meaningful connections, because you love you for you, and you respect other people's boundaries. Therefore, you love them for themselves. You are not in the business of changing people. You are no longer making them a project. It's you just knowing that here. In this relationship right now, I am loved, I am understood. I am loving this person and I'm understanding this person. And this can be expanded into our families. So it gives us a sense of peace, but it also very much improves the quality of our relationships.
Yeah. You mentioned this earlier briefly, and I think the reason why it is the start of a beautiful relationship with yourself, because it is the day you stop betraying yourself.
Absolutely. It's the day you stop betraying yourself. And when you do, Bumi, you can call yourself out for it.
Yes.
And without, not harshly.
Yeah.
And you know, you basically just say, that didn't make me feel comfortable. Even if you can say it in the mirror, like that evening, just saying, I actually didn't feel like spending all that money at that not so nice place.
Yeah.
Okay. Bumi, you can do better next
time. We're not doing it again. Yeah.
That's it. And it means that you can just create a space of multiplying who you are. And I believe in this thing that it is okay for us to earn and get paid for being more of ourselves. So it means then we can never really get to that point when we do not know ourselves.
I'd love us to end this on a personal note. Ndumi, if your boundaries could speak, what would they thank you for?
If my boundaries could speak, what would they thank me for?
Yeah,
I think my boundaries will thank me for seeing into me.
Ooh.
For really, really having an honest and sincere, loving relationship with myself. When to a point that I am able to walk away from relationships that look beautiful on the outside, but didn't feel good on the inside.
And for the most part, you were in that relationship with Black Tech.
Well, one was business relationship. One, it was Black Tech. Another was a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
Its boundaries, they cut across the spectrum.
They cut across the spectrum.
So,
and if we can master it in one area, it becomes easy to master it in other areas too, because we are the people who are and I don't want to use the word enforce, but who are exercising the boundaries.
Yes, who uphold the boundary. Yes. That's the word I use.
Yes.
Uphold the boundary.
Yeah.
Because upholding, it also means holding people accountable when they step out of the boundary.
Yeah, and yourself too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, Ndumi, I could go on and on and on and on with you. But right now, I just want to thank you for helping us name what we've been feeling in our bones but couldn't quite put into words. You know, when you spoke about that shame and that self-loathing and the real reason why we never cut the ties or have the conversations, that for me stood out. So you've reminded us that boundaries are not walls, they are simply doors. And we get to choose what enters and what must stay outside. Because the only people who, or the only things that come through the door are the ones we say yes to. And I
Absolutely.
Hope that from this conversation, we all find the courage to disappoint others rather than abandon ourselves. And I hope that we also learn that loving our families doesn't mean losing our freedom. You spoke about freedom so much, so much. And I think my message as we close off to everyone listening is that your peace is not a betrayal. It's actually an inheritance you are allowed to protect. We started off by talking about inheriting. And I think the inheritance that you can protect is your peace, firstly and foremostly.
That is so beautiful. Thank you for having me. I've had so much fun chatting with you.
Oh, this was so amazing. When it comes out,
and for anyone
podcast,
wanting to work with me,
yeah.
NdumiHadebe.co.za.
Oh, girl, they're coming. Okay. They are coming. And you've got a book out. Please just remind people the title of the book and where they can find it.
It is Handle Black Text Like a Pro, available on Takealot, Amazon, exclusive books everywhere. And then for corporate orders, via my website, Ndumi Hadebe. And
Oh, you're amazing. Now you can never get rid of me. I'm going to be your black text without leeching on you. But you're so amazing. Thank you so much for giving us your time and your wisdom.
Thank you, Mpumi. Thank you so much.
Bye, Dumi. Have a lovely evening.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.